So shall we read in the Gospel by Matthew once again? The first Gospel, chapter 11. This chapter commences in solemnity and ends in sweetness. Now shall we read, please, at verse 20. Then began he to upbraid the cities were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. For I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemeth good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Chapter 25, once again, where we read last night. Didn't exhaust it. Chapter 25, when the Son of Man, verse 31, shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all the nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided the sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Verse 41, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Verse 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, or eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Now the Lord will bless to us the reading of the Holy Word of God tonight. It's been often said that there's nothing so solemn as the actual words that fell from the lips of the Lord Jesus. It can be said of his words as of the words of Solomon, where the word of a king is, there is power. And in these two passages that I'm going to speak from, we have the Lord Jesus presented as the sovereign, as the king. And in each of them he is speaking, and he speaks simply and yet with great solemnity. He said about the words of the king in chapter 24, Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. It's true of all his words, but especially true of his words as the king, that the created heaven that we look upon, the moon and stars and sun, will one day pass away, and the earth upon which we stand will one day be burned up. But the blessed words that fell from the lips of the king will remain forever. And so my first point is this, that what you are going to listen to tonight for a few minutes is not simply the words of a preacher, or even the words of an apostle, or the words of a prophet, but they are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And those words will last forever. And the message in them, I hope, will have a lasting effect upon your heart. For being saved is by listening to words in your ears. And tonight we're going to look at the actual words of the Savior. Now out of these, this massive reading and this very important part of the Bible, I have chosen two little sentences to speak about that are so simple, the words are so plain and simple, that the very youngest could understand them. First of all, I'm going to take three words from Matthew 11. Come unto me. The words of Christ. No other one could ever utter words like these. This Matthew 11:28 is one of those gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. We read in the 45th Psalm, grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God, even thy God, hath blessed thee forever. And that verse, Matthew 11:28, is a verse that God has used like John 3:16, John 5:24, and 1 Timothy 1:15, and all the verses we have already quoted. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then he said, I am meek and lowly in heart. But I'm going to occupy with three words from it. Come unto me. Well, then in the second reading, in Matthew 25, we have three more words that I want you to think about. It's in verse 41, depart from me. Oh, what a solemn word that is. Depart from me. And the rest of the verse says, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Here we have the King Judge. In Matthew 11, he's the kingly Savior, but here he's the kingly Judge. And as the kingly Savior, he says, come unto me. But as the kingly Judge, he will say, depart from me. Now those are the two texts that I'm going to use. Come unto me, depart from me. Sometimes we sing, now 'tis come, but then depart. Now the words come unto me, they present the Lord Jesus as the Savior, yearning over the unsaved. This verse is a verse of yearning and longing. It's a voice of entreaty, and it's the voice of the Savior. Come unto me. But in Matthew 25:41, it's the same person, but he's no longer the Savior. His day of Saviorhood has passed. His day of entreaty is now forever gone. And here he is the Judge, sitting upon the throne, and he's dividing as a shepherd the sheep from the goats, and he is saying to the goats, a symbol of the unconverted, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. So in one, the Lord is the Savior saying, come. But in the second, he is the Judge saying, depart. Again, please notice that in the first, it is tonight, today. In 2 Corinthians 6:2, we read, behold, now is the day of salvation. And the day of salvation is characterized by the call of the Savior. He's sitting exalted, the right hand of God, while I preach here, a Savior in heaven upon the throne. And as he looks down from that throne, which in Hebrews 4 we learn is a throne of grace, and as he sits on that throne of grace, he is sending a worldwide message in the gospel. And that worldwide message
has for its entreaty and invitation, come. Come unto me. The Savior is speaking tonight from the throne in the heavens in this wonderful day of salvation, which is extended to this very hour. And all the time that that day of grace is lasting, the Savior's invitation is freely sounding still. Come unto me. But in Matthew 25, he's sitting upon another throne. Here it's the throne of his glory. The throne of grace has passed. And he's seen now upon the throne of glory. It's now the day of judgment for the world. And the Savior is saying to those who have rejected him, depart. Depart from me. I never knew you. Tonight, it has come. And that day, it will be depart. Tonight, this word is sounding while the door of mercy is open. There's a door to heaven tonight, and it's open wide. The old singer Sankey, when he penned the words or sang the words, he sang, there is a door that stands ajar. What those early men meant was that the door was closing, and it would soon be closed. It was ajar. But I like the hymn, there is a door stands open wide, and that door will be wide to the wall, if I may use the figure, until the day of mercy is past. And then it will close abruptly. It's not swinging closed. It's wide open. But there's a day coming when it's going to be closed abruptly. And that could be tonight. But while the door of mercy is open, and thank God it's open right now, the Savior is shining in the gospel. The beams of heaven shine down into a poor dark world, and at the end of those beams of light, the trumpet of the gospel is, come unto me, and I will give you rest. But whenever that door is shut, and it may be tonight, then judgment awaits the Christ rejecter. Judgment awaits the world that is indifferent. And when he comes to set up that wonderful kingdom, he will say to every sinner in this world who has missed Christ, depart from me. My kingdom must be established in perfect righteousness. And these shall go away into eternal fire. Depart from me. So he's the Savior tonight. In that day, he will be the judge. This is the day of grace. In that day, it will be the day of judgment. This is the hour of opportunity to be saved. But the sands are running through very quickly. And none of us can tell how soon this present age will be lasting. We have no guarantee that we'll even be here tomorrow evening. This may be the last time that cars will ever line up in the lot here. Tomorrow evening this hall could be sitting in midnight darkness at this hour. What has taken place? The door is shut. And the gospel will be heard no more. And if you have missed Christ, you're going to meet him as the judge. Come unto me. Depart from me. Notice also that his invitation may be spurned. You can either come or stay. No one can make you come. You're a free will agent. But this invitation can be rejected. But whenever the invitation has been sounded for the last time, and the door is shut, come unto me, whenever that invitation is passed. And he says, depart. No one can refuse it. When he says depart, it's not a matter of you may or you may not. When he says depart, it will be obeyed. He says, come. Man don't obey his word today. This is the age of grace. But when he says depart, none will ever gainsay that word. It's a command to be obeyed. Come unto me is an invitation that can either be received or rejected. No one can coerce you to come. And the outcome is so different. Come unto me and I will give you rest. Peace. But if he ever says to you, depart, Revelation 14 says of those who will hear his word, depart, that they rest not neither day nor night, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. Dreadful words that I wouldn't quote if they weren't in the Bible. The smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night. I tell you, if you miss Christ, you will have no rest. There is no rest in hell. No sleep. No peace. The wicked will be troubled like the seas forever. It's an awful thing. I hope you will obtain rest tonight. And peace my Savior gives, a peace I never knew before. My way has brighter grown since I've learned to trust Him more. Now let us look at these verses a little more closely. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This took place at the end of one of the most solemn sermons that Christ ever uttered. In this sermon in Matthew 11, he mentions certain doctrines and truths that are most unpopular today. Certain truths that are not even being mentioned anymore. It's thought out of place from some platforms and pulpits to emphasize what the Lord emphasized in Matthew 11. It'd be very easy for me to come here tonight and amuse you with a lecture. It'd be very easy for me to come here tonight and interest you in the journals of travel and in many other things that I have on my mind that I could speak about. But the message that we carry and the message that God has laid upon our heart is a message that is unpopular in the world in which we live. And we will be touching upon things that will make those who are unsaved most uncomfortable. And even those who have professions of religion but have never been born again, many of them will be unable to stand the preaching. But he that hath my word, let him speak it faithfully. Now in this chapter, the Lord Jesus speaks of heaven. Thou, Capernaum, art exalted to heaven. He speaks of hell. And the word that he uses here is Hades, the place of departed spirits. He's warning that there is a hell. You see, we arrived in a day now in our modernistic society, when many in the religious world deny the existence of these two places. Some will agree that there is a heaven, but will not allow a hell. Others are explaining hell away as an experience in this life, that people go through hell on earth. And others are looking upon hell as a condition of annihilation. They will say, yes, I believe in hell, but what is hell? Hell is going out of existence. The Bible says that hell is a place of conscious existence. Hell is a place of everlasting judgment. And hell is as real a place as any other place that you may ever have heard about. It is not a mere condition neither is the language in any wise parabolical. Hell is a real place, and heaven is a real place. Thou shalt be brought down to hell, the Savior said. Thou art exalted to heaven with privilege. Thou shalt be brought down to hell in judgment. And then he said to those cities along the plain and along the Sea of Galilee, if the mighty works that had been done in thee had been done in Tyre and Sidon and at Sodom, they would have remained until this day. It shall be more tolerable for them in the day of judgment. You know, there are many denying that there is a day of judgment. That's why people are cremated today, many of them, and their bodies cast into the sea. They hope to evade the hand of God in resurrection on the day of judgment. But there is a day of judgment. God has appointed the day, Acts 17, in which he will judge the world. And the Savior is speaking of these most solemn matters, that in the day of judgment, some will suffer more severely than others. Some whose judgment will be greater than another because of responsibility. The more privileges that you have, the more responsible you become. A man who dies having heard the gospel once will not sink as deeply in the day of judgment into the lake of fire as those who have had a background of listening to the gospel for years. You know, I always ask the Lord to give me a tender heart when I preach like this, lest I would be preaching someone into judgment that would be greater, instead of saving them from the wrath to come. Because our preaching is either a savor of life unto life in them that are being saved, or of death unto death in them that are perishing. What does that mean? That if the word, what does that mean? That if the word that we speak faithfully from God is not used in your conversion, it could be used as a witness against you at that day of judgment, when the judge of all the earth will say, you attended that gospel meeting when my servant proclaimed the faithful word. Did he tell you there was a heaven to gain and a hell to shun? Did he point out to you there was a judgment day, and that Christ's death on Calvary and the precious blood was the only way of salvation through faith alone in our Lord Jesus Christ? What will you say when he shall punish thee? The Bible says, concerning a man that was to be punished, that had not on the wedding garment, is speechless. Sinners will be speechless in the hour of judgment. There are many there that never heard the story of Calvary. It's what this passage says. The men of Sodom, if they had heard the gospel, they listened to the preaching of Christ, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But they never heard the gospel preached. There are souls in hell tonight that never heard a gospel hymn. There are souls in hell tonight that never heard a clear message presented in their life. Witness the man of Sodom who have perished. They never heard of Calvary and of the blood, and they never knew the Savior's name. If they had heard, they would have repented long ago. An awful thing to leave the Sunday school, and the text hanging above your head, and the Bible sitting beside your bed with your name on a flyleaf, and a mother in heaven, and a father that prayed for you, and a grandfather whose name was remembered among the saints. The It's a sad thing to perish out in the midst of the deep, far from the harbored true. And there are many dying tonight far away on the hills of sin, the mountains of iniquity, far from God. But oh, to die having had the light of the gospel shining on your mind, and to know the way of salvation so clearly presented.
For dwellers under the rock. You know what Jesus said about a man like that, who traveled with them for 3 years and listened to the ministry of Christ. Jesus said, it had been good for that man he had not been born, that he had never seen the light of day. Better to have died on your mother's knees as a babe, as to live in your sins and be educated in the gospel and hear the word of God and never come to Christ. And maybe you're passing yourself off as a Christian. And when anyone asks you about this matter, you say, oh yes, I'm a Christian. But you have no definite time when you were born again. There was no time when you came in repentance. You know, every one of us here going to heaven, we had a time when, and a place where, and a manner how, when we thought about nothing else. The day I was saved, I thought about nothing else under the sun, only knowing that my soul was saved, and that heaven was my home for all eternity.
On earth. You will never be saved until you're on earth. You want to be lost, just rise out of this meeting and get with the most careless young people you can meet and get along with them and get into laughing and carelessness, and you'll not be saved. And I walked into a little shop in Ireland years ago after a tent meeting. There was a man and his wife sitting weeping at the table, and they said, our boy came home tonight, a thing he has never done before. He came straight home from the meeting, and he's up the stairs. Never bid us good night. Oh, they said he must be concerned about his soul. In the morning, the father rang me, said, 3 o'clock this morning, the light is still burning. He was really troubled. Night after night, that boy was marked out from the crowd and began to sit nearer the front and away from his old companion. He was stirred. And I walked into the shop one day and he took me by the hand and he said, I got saved last night up in the room. That young man is Ewell Usher, by the way, who's a missionary in Venezuela today. Listen, everyone that ever got saved, they got down to business. We're not here to play games, I want to tell you. And I'm not a professional evangelist. I'm a simple preacher of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're here with one object before us, and that is that these young people that are here, and older ones, and the wives, and the husbands, and there are many husbands of the Christians here, and they're not saved for eternity. And the Savior says there's a judgment day, and there's a heaven and a hell. But then he turned to the multitudes that were there, when he had turned to the Father. And he said, it pleased thee to keep these things hidden from the wise and prudent and to reveal them unto babes. And if you're going to be saved, you'll take the place of a little child. You'll lose all the knowledge that you have and all the arrangements that are in your mind and all the smart ideas that you have, young man. You'll lose them and you'll say, I'm just a sinner on the way to hell. I need Christ.
Savior says, if you're like that, I have a message for you. Come unto me.
Come unto me, O hear his sweet call. Christ hath redeemed us once for all. Here we have the gospel. These words were spoken by the Savior when he was on earth. But they're true tonight, even in a greater way in heaven, at the right hand of God. He leans down into this meeting by his Holy Spirit. And he says to every unconverted one here who is laboring and heavy laden, if you're careless and indifferent, there's no message of salvation for you at this moment while you're indifferent. You'll never be saved while you're careless. God never saves a careless sinner while he's careless. And God never saves a scoffer while he's scoffing. But you can leave your carelessness in a moment. Many a one has come into a meeting to scoff and a state to pray. Listen, you can lay aside all the material things and all the excuses that you have for not being saved. And you can lay aside all that empty religion and that outward suaveness that marks some that get through by trying to move as a Christian, but you've never been born again. Lay that all aside and come out into the open and take the true place and be honest before God. Everyone that has ever been saved, it was with an honest and a good heart that they came. The Savior looks down and he says, is there any laboring and heavy laden? Is there any burdened soul in the company? Come unto me. Come unto me. Those three words show that salvation is in one place. Those three words show that salvation is in a person. If you want to be saved, you've got to come to Christ. Not come to the preacher. He gives a pointer. The preacher is a pointer. The preacher is like a direction on the highway. He's a signpost to point you the way. Doesn't say come unto the church. There's other scriptures where people have to speak to the church and come to the church about other matters. But when it comes to being saved, you don't tell it to the church. And you don't come to the evangelist. And you don't come to an angel. Did you come to the Lord Jesus directly? The Bible says there is one God, and there is one mediator, 1 Timothy 2, between God and man, himself the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. The work of the mediatorial work of the Lord, is very, very misunderstood. Even many well-taught Christians think that when we speak of the mediator, we are looking at Calvary and we see him dying for man. But that verse makes it clear that he's not the mediator on the cross. He's the ransom on the cross. There is one God tonight, and there are men on earth that are unsaved. And standing between God and man is the mediator of the new covenant. The mediator in resurrection. Whose hands bear the imprints of Calvary. Who once died as a ransom upon a rugged tree and shed his blood. Between God, whose throne is outraged, and whose wrath will descend upon you if you die in your sins, is the Savior of mankind, the Savior of the world, the mediator. Everyone that comes to that mediator, owning his need and accepting him to be the Savior of the world and my Savior, God will receive him. God, for Christ's sake, will forgive you tonight. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, your sins can be all put away. That throne tonight is one of mercy. No one has ever approached that throne that has been turned away. Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out, the Savior said. And tonight the message of the gospel is, come unto me. There's someone I don't know how to come to Christ. You can't rise out of your seat and come. I know people do that. In some evangelistic services, they're called upon to do it, and they think by doing it that they have done something. In San Diego, I was preaching there, and at the back of the hall, a well-dressed man that was there stood upon his feet, and he started to walk up the carpeted floor, and I wondered, what will I do with this man? And as he drew near, I saw the tears filling his eyes and running down onto his shirt. He came right to the platform, and every eye was upon him, and I was trying to concentrate in preaching. I said, you sit down there, I speak to you in a moment. You knelt there. Knelt there. When it was over, he said, listen, I didn't do that to display anything. But as I listened and heard the message, he said, I thought that if God saw me doing that, he would see I meant that I was in earnest. I knew it wouldn't save me. He apologized. But he was really troubled. It was no mere emotion that had moved him. The Spirit of God had touched his heart. I don't believe in demonstration. But I believe the Spirit of God does speak to people in different ways. And there may have been people that went up on gatherings like that. Unfortunately, their counselors may not have been the wisest, but there were people that were concerned. There's many not concerned, but there are people concerned. One night in a meeting I said, is there anyone here right now who will receive Christ as your personal Savior? And I heard a voice at the back of that hall. It was the voice of a woman. And she said, I receive him now. I'm not asking you to do that. But that woman was saved and lived for 30 years in fellowship in the Assembly of God. It was the first time I'd ever heard a woman speak in one of our meetings with a brethren didn't. And the brethren didn't know what to say or do. But afterwards, when I spoke to her, I found out that she had really trusted Christ as her Savior. I looked to prove it. We don't call for demonstrations. We don't ask for people to raise their hands or shout out. But I tell you, it's a solemn moment when a person shouts out. I heard a man shout out years ago, and I never forgot it. He's in heaven tonight. He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He told me afterwards, I thought I was dropping into hell in that tent to be lost forever. Today the people are so hardened by sin and we become so sophisticated that we seldom see a tear. Better to shed tears tonight as weep in hell under the judgment of God, never to come back. How can I come? How did the prodigal come? He came with word up the highway. He said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Little book of Isaiah 14 says, take with your words and say, take away my iniquity and receive me graciously. We don't ask the unconverted to pray prayers, the abomination of the Lord. But there are certain prayers that the Lord hears, the penitent prayer of the sinner. No wonder Charlotte Elliot's hymn, stealing out of the bedroom of the invalid, has been used to conversion multitudes of souls. When she died, she had over 1,000 letters of people all over this old world that were saved through our words. What are they? Just as I am, without one thing but that thy blood is shed for me.
that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. Will you go to your room tonight and kneel down and say, Lamb of God, I come. I want in my life regulated. I want God in my life. I want my sins forgiven and heaven to be my home. And I need thee, and you young people need him. In this world of ages, you need Christ. You'll never make it without him. Through the pollution and the sin and wickedness of our day, you'll never make it. None of us can ever make it without Christ. How many here have Christ as their Savior, a living, bright reality?
Listen, it's the only thing that really matters. Come unto me, O hear his sweet call, Christ hath redeemed us once for all. Will you come? You're responsible. There was a time when you couldn't come. If he hadn't died on Calvary, the veil would never have been rent. That partition, that sacred partition, was a symbol that God had closed the gate, and there was no way back. I love that little chorus, there's a way back to God from the dark path of sin. There's a door that is opened that all may come in, and Calvary's cross is where we begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. Will you come right now? If you don't come tonight, you may never come at all. Every one of us had to come in the old-fashioned way. Our head was down, our heart was broken. Our sins had burdened us. We knew we were lost. And no sin could help us, no prayer could save us. But we came to Christ. The Savior would never turn one away, never. Never one to him that cometh shall be turned away.
The oldest man like Nicodemus. The old man, how can I be born for I am old? The old man. Paul was in midlife, for instance, a young man.
A young man at whose feet the clothes were cast, likely in his 30s.
A little girl of 12.
There were children that came, and he said, suffer them to come to me and forbid them not. And he sat upon his knee and he took them up in his arms. There were widows that came, and lepers, the blind and the lame. They came to him from every quarter. And men are still coming with a leprosy of sin and death and deaf and dark. Gracious Homer sang, I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. You come tonight? Matthew 25. The day to come is past, and the door is shut, and the Savior says, depart from me. Depart from me. What will they leave? They'll leave the Christians. They'll leave heaven. They'll leave the Savior. The songs of the redeemed will be vanishing from the ears. They're going away. Sinners going away from God and heaven. Tonight you're going away, but take care that you don't go away forever. These shall go away too. Those that reject Christ, they'll go away.
When a man dies in his sins, he starts to go away. When a person leaves the great white throne for the lake of fire, he's going away. And he'll go farther out and deeper down, lost in darkness that is on end, in fire that never shall be quenched, in a night without a morning. But one soul in this meeting will finally be lost. And God will tell us the name of that one. And you know, it's hardly likely that everyone here will finally be saved. Quite a high possibility that there's a number here that will finally be lost. That they'll miss salvation. That they'll pass every opportunity by. That they'll refuse to pull down the mask of hypocrisy and of unreality. We live in a land of fantasia, and many sinners are dreaming on the way to hell. But listen, it's likely there are quite a number here that might never be saved. But we knew the name of one, but not one of us was sleeping in our bed. Not one. What I'm speaking about now has taken the sleep from my eyes last night. I realize the solemnity of being here and looking into the faces of men and women and boys and girls. And I was thinking over the many, many hundreds, thousands of meetings all over this world that I have preached the gospel in all my life. The first 20 years of my life, I preached 48 weeks, every year, every night, the gospel. Now, most of those people are in eternity tonight. And I believe I'd like to preach to some that are in heaven. But I tried to win them. I tried to reach them. I missed them. Friend of mine, I hope you don't miss Christ. And hear the judge say, depart from me, you cursed. Where will he go? Everlasting punishment. Out of darkness. He shall go away into eternal punishment. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Prepared not for you at all, but for the devil and his angels. Think of the devil and the tremendous suffering of judgment he will undergo. The greatest of all created beings will sink into the darkest depths. But take care that you don't join them. Go away from God, and from heaven, and from Christians, and from life. Your cry will be, the harvest is past. The summer is ended. I am not saved. And I will never be saved now. It's too late. Oh, my gracious Lord, lead you through Son tonight as our earnest prayer. Shall we pray? Our blessed God, we bow to thank thee that thou hast been pleased to draw near on another occasion and to ask for thy Holy Spirit and for searching the hearts of everyone likely that is here, even those who are long saved, will feel the searching word. We trust that we might never become like those that go down to the pit, that we wouldn't hear the voice of God in our hearts. Be not silent unto me, lest if thou be silent, I am like a man going down to the pit. And there are in this meeting some that are going down to the pit tonight, nearer hell than they've ever been in their lives. Poor deluded souls, they don't understand what it's all about. Maybe some woman in this meeting tonight passing over the deadline,
some young man on his last hours, and he knows it not. Oh, grant before these people sleep in their bed tonight, they may bow the knee to the Savior. They may trust the one that died on that middle cross and shed his blood. And he opened the life gate that all can go in. And that is calling tonight, in the darkness of these evil days, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And I will tonight give you rest. Grant that someone may have rest. Here we rest in wonder viewing. All our sins on Jesus lay. Bless the truth, our Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.